My name is Mytting, Lars Mytting. I live in a place called Elverum, which is at the very edge of the forest belt called the taiga.
If you're thinking where, I did too. I looked it up. The taiga is a gigantic snow forest, cuts across a huge swath of northern Europe, all the way from Siberia to southern Norway. And that's right where Lars lives. So if there's one thing that people in that area know, it's wood. How to chop it, stack it, season it, heat their homes with it. And Lars, who's a journalist and a writer, recently gathered all that collected wisdom and he put it in a book called Norwegian Wood, which turned out to be a huge bestseller. And what kind of things does it tell you? Well, for one thing, if you're a woman on the lookout for a good husband, the first thing you might want to check out is his wood pile.
For example, if you had a very, very big wood pile, you would have a man with high ambitions, but who perhaps didn't know his own limits. And and on the other hand, if you have a low stack, then perhaps you have one that's cautious, but he may also be shy or weak. And you have, you know, the artistic man who likes to, you know, make different shapes of and sculptures out of the stacks, which may be nice to look at, but perhaps he is wasting his energy on something that won't be very fruitful. So there is
so
a lot
of what kind of wood pile do you want to look for if you're looking for a good husband?
I'd advise that you should look for a lot of wood that's fresh and not moldy. And if you have a variation of logs, small and big logs together, that's also a good sign, because we need a mixture of the big logs for the really cold nights, but also smaller ones to make it easier to start the fire. And I wouldn't really advocate marrying someone with this extremely pedantic wood piles.
What's a pedantic wood pile?
Well, if they are obsessively perfect, the man may have lost some connection to reality and just observe the... or they have too much time. Perhaps they are just waiting for the right woman to show up. But generally, you know, we often have competitions in local newspapers here on the competitions for the best wood pile.
No, wait, I didn't know that.
Oh, that comes every year with local newspaper, and people send photos of their own or their husband's or wood piles.
This reminds me that there's a guy in Norway who's built wood piles that are so sculptural. He's made, well, one was of the composer Rossini, right?
Oh, yes. I know them. They are great folks. They are old, so they have lots of time. I forgive him. And he's already married.
Has he done anything besides Rossini?
The first really good one he did was of the local mayor, a cartoon of him. The next year came Rossini, and then for the royal anniversary he made perhaps the most perfected one, which was of the Norwegian royal family, the king and queen of Norway,
in the shape of a wood pile.
yes, he's considered, say, the master class of wood pilers here in Norway.
So this is a kind of deep knowledge, deep lore that goes way back in Norway. I'm not sure that people in the U.S. know that much about wood. Most of us don't heat our homes with wood, for one thing. So there really is a Norwegian or Scandinavian way of wood or wood culture?
Yes, absolutely. It sounds a bit nerdy, I understand. but the thing is that our tradition has never been broken by coal. It's recorded back to the Viking era that there was a quite developed knowledge on how to get the properly seasoned firewood.
So tell me some of this old knowledge. I mean, what's the proper way to build a wood pile the Norwegian way? It's not as simple as you just go out, you chop down a tree, you split some logs, and that's it. You're ready for a fire.
It's possible to write 192 pages about it. So, yes, it's no. There are lots of interesting small details around it. Really, one of them, which I thought was the most obscure was to observe the moon phase, to chop firewood on a sinking moon.
So when the moon is waning, you chop. That's when you chop
waning,
the wood.
Waning, yes, that's right. And I thought, well, this is certainly some folklore which has no basis in truth. But some applied science actually found that trees had cycles, monthly cycles.
Just like women.
And that's right. In the 1990s, a Swiss scientist made a very, very big project with 400, I was supposed to say women, but 400 trees. And they found that the trees were shrinking and expanding near the full moon, but it was definitely possible to measure it. So,
that's just fascinating, and it says so much about these old traditions and old pieces of knowledge that we, you know, in our current scientific age tend to dismiss as just so much old nonsense.
One of the things I like to do when researching and writing is to just not abandon a old myth, but try to go to the core of it and find out, now, what was the foundation of the myth? And very often I found that there was a certain truth to it.
Hmm. Are there things you still feel you haven't been able to convey in words about wood?
In essence, what I tried to capture in the book was the magic of connecting to nature and to the seasons. After the book was done, I found, quite to my surprise, how universal this subject is, because it was a big hit in Norway and no one really expected that it should be. The book was close to not getting published at all because people thought it was a bit too weird a subject or too obvious a subject. But the big surprise that I had, and which still surprises me, is how profound the connection between people and from all sorts of countries and cultures, how profound a connection they still have with firewood.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you about the art of actually building a fire, because reading your book taught me that I've been doing it completely the wrong way for years and years. So tell me how to build a fire the Norwegian way.
There is a saying, there's no smoke without fire, but it's absolutely possible to make a fire without any smoke at all.
Really?
Yes, it is. It may sound like I'm a bit off the edge of normal mental health, but what I've been doing is I've been standing on the roof right by the chimney, investigating, say, have I made a perfect fire now? And the
and you could stand up on your roof to see if any smoke is coming out of your chimney?
That's right, because if you have smoke out of the chimney, it's basically like gas leaking from a car. It's energy wasted. So if you have a perfect fire, you will not have any smoke at all.
But how do you get a fire like that?
The main thing is obviously the clean burn technology, which is in modern stoves. But the other thing is to build the fire upside down. And this may sound like a contra logic and obviously different to what most people do. Instinctively, we would take some kindling and set fire to it, and then put small sticks of wood on top of the kindling, and then the bigger logs on top.
Right.
But what will happen is that the bigger logs, they will be warm enough to let the gas out from the log, but it won't be hot enough to set fire to that gas. And we need to set fire to all the gas released in order to burn with no pollution. So the method is called the valley and bridge method, where we build a layer of logs, two or three layers perhaps. On top of that, I put two logs in parallel and put some small sticks on top of that kindling.
So you burn it with the kindling and the small stuff on top.
On top, yes. And what will happen is that you have flames on top, and as the heat goes downwards, the gas and the smoke is released, but there will always be flames on top. And that way you get a much warmer fire, simply because you use all the potential energy in the wood. And the hotter it gets, the cleaner it also gets. Mm. So there is nothing to gain, really, from a smoking stove. In Norway, we have a word for it. We call heating the crow.
Heating the crow.
Heating the crow, yeah. We let the heat out to the crow instead right. of...
The people indoors.
Instead of, keeping it indoors.
Lars Mytting lives in Elverum in Norway. His best-selling book, Norwegian Wood, Chopping, Stacking, and Drying Wood the Scandinavian Way, is now available in English.